three or four weddings each year, each summer, for about 5 or 6 years in a row. And it was quite a wonderful time, going to all these weddings, all these celebrations, all these parties. Wonderful time. And I love going to weddings. However, as a minister, weddings are, or at least they can be, a nightmare. So much to organise and so many expectations for a perfect day. I don't want anything ever to go wrong at a wedding. And there's a few tales that I could tell of a few weddings that have gone wrong, from fainting grooms to couples turning up a week before for the rehearsal without a proper marriage licence, so they couldn't actually get married. All kinds of disasters and problems and things. But as a guest, going to a wedding is absolutely wonderful and fantastic, and I'm sure that Joni loves going to weddings as well. A wonderful opportunity for her to glam up and all the rest of us. All the clothes, all the colours, all the shoes, the hats, the bags, and of course that's just the men. Great social events. We can meet with our friends and share in a wonderful and happy event, and hopefully on such a beautiful, wonderful hot summer's day as well. But it must be a real disaster if either the food or the drink runs out. You must have lots of wine that flows aplenty at a wedding. Even Methodist weddings, I think, these days can have a bit of alcohol in them. Okay, maybe not. But here in this wedding today, we find that things have gone drastically wrong. The wine has dried up. There is no more left at today's wedding feast. But the feast at the wedding at Cana is about so much more than turning water into wine. We find that at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, here he is invited to a wedding feast. Jesus has just called his first disciples and he's received an invitation to this wedding and he goes along as well. And his mother is there. I don't know whether she's keeping an eye on him or whether she has been invited along to the wedding as well. There's an indication that she has some kind of family relationship with the bridegroom because she is able to instruct the servants that they should obey what Jesus tells them to do. This passage of Scripture starts with the words, on the third day. There's a clear indication there, a clear echo of the account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's an echo right at the beginning of John's Gospel of what will happen at the end of the Gospel. What will happen at the end of the story of Jesus' earthly life and ministry in the resurrection. So we can see already that this miracle story is pointing to the significance of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, stating that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, is more than just the performing of miracles. It is more than the turning of water into wine. This is the first sign of Jesus, the first miracle that he performs, and it functions at many different levels. One being that it announces that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is upon us. I think that the miracles themselves that appear throughout the Gospels are, in a real sense, quite irrelevant. And I say that because the miracle itself is not important. What happens, what goes on in the miracle is a sign. It is a pointer to something else. And this miracle points to Jesus Christ. It points to us, it shows us that Jesus is the true bridegroom. This is a metaphor of the bridegroom coming back to the Old Testament time, where it is an understanding that God is the husband of Israel. God is the one who cares for and has this deep relationship with his people, his loved ones, the people of Israel. And it is through the old covenant which has been broken that the marriage, if you like, has broken down. And so God sends to his people a new bridegroom, the beginning of a new possibility, the beginning of a new relationship in Jesus Christ. He is the new bridegroom. The miracles in the New Testament generally tell us that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is coming upon the people. This miracle tells the wedding guests that in this Gospel of John, here it is that Jesus, in Jesus himself, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God has arrived. The kingdom of God is upon us in the person of Jesus himself. And this theme of the kingdom of God having arrived, that there is a new beginning, is expanded upon in the symbolism of the changing of water into wine. It is significant that there are six jars. Numbers are always important when we read Bible stories. There are six jars, jars that were used for ceremonial purification. The number six is close to, but not quite, the perfect number seven. In Jewish thought, number seven was the perfect number. And number 12 was also a very important and significant number. So six, one short of seven, not quite perfect. And that is saying to us that the ceremonial purification rites of Israelite ritual fall short of adequately preparing the people for a full and right and proper relationship with God. The old way has failed, Jesus is saying in this miracle. The old way has failed. The wine has run out. Of course it has. What has gone before is inadequate. The old way is over and done with. People's communion with God has broken down. But what good fortune. The true bridegroom is present at this wedding feast. The true bridegroom is able to make a difference in terms of this relationship. For out of the old jars of purification water comes the new wine, which brings a new relationship with God. That which had as water never been able to and never would be able to in any quantity, large or small, to prepare people by adequate purification to enter into a worthy relationship with God is turned through Jesus, the true bridegroom, by his grace and by his power into the joy of a new beginning, a new relationship with God. There is a movement from inadequacy of the old, the wine that has run out, into a superabundance of the grace and the glory and the wonder and the love of God. It is overflowing. You can do the maths yourselves. There are six jars, each jar capable of being filled with 20 to 30 gallons, which works out to be something like between 120 and 180 gallons of wine. My word, what a wedding feast that would be, to have so much wine, 500 odd litres of wine. Fantastic feast, fantastic wine, fantastic celebration. It says to the people, it says to us that the grace of God, the saving grace of God, is truly overflowing. Then we have the comment from the steward, the master of ceremonies. He says that normally the best wine is served first when everybody is sober and they can appreciate the good wine, and then you bring out the bad wine after that, the poor quality wine, when everybody is too drunk to notice the difference. That's the reality of the situation. That's why they did it. But here we find that the best wine has been saved until last. They've had really good wine to begin with, and now the people are a bit merrier and a bit more drunk. The better wine is brought out. Again, it's saying that the old is inadequate, and the new wine that Jesus brings to us is a far better way. It is the only way. It is the perfect way. How typical of the Gospels is that? That the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The last is greater than that which has come before. The turning upside down of the accepted norms of religion and society. Even here at the wedding, the best wine is served last. And we find the imagery of that which is better following that which has gone before. The old way of ritual purification, the old covenant, is replaced by the new covenant of Jesus Christ. That way is a much better way. So finally then, in this passage, in this gospel story, we find the themes subtly revealed to us of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ right at the beginning of his ministry on the third day. We find the centrality of the new communion with Christ, the new communion with God through the wine, the communion of Jesus Christ. Through his blood and the new wine, a replacement of the old way with a new and much better way. The old way was merely an anticipation, And here in Jesus Christ, it is reality. The old way was merely a promise, but now in the new wine of Jesus Christ, we find fulfillment of those promises. We see that here in this passage. The kingdom of God, God's sovereign rule on earth, is revealed to be at hand. And as Jesus is the bridegroom, it is here and now in the person of Jesus Christ. The guests at the wedding feast of Cana were very privileged people to be able to witness and see the new bridegroom, the new way, the new covenant in the person of Jesus himself. And following the call of the disciples through this miracle, his disciples put their faith in him and they believed in him. This miracle of the changing of water into wine points to Jesus as the Messiah, and his disciples believe in him also. May we, through this story of the abundance of the grace of God, know that abundant love, abundant grace in our lives and in our hearts. And may we respond to this abundant saving grace of God by placing our lives and our faith in Jesus Christ.